Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're cutting through some of the noise around a molecule you hear about a lot, glutathione.
Right. It pops up everywhere in wellness circles.
Exactly. You've probably heard names like Andrew Huberman, maybe Joe Rogan, Dr. Craig Conover, the prep coach even mention it.
Sure.
But our mission here is different. We want to dig, you know, beneath those surface level chats.
Get into the foundational science.
Yeah. Explore what the actual preclinical research tells us. We're really focusing on those initial scientific studies, the bedrock of what we know.
And it's crucial to do that because it's easy to get swept up in the general buzz, looking at those early explorations, cell studies, animal models. That's where you see just how vital glutathione really is.
Mm.
And just to be clear from the start, this isn't a peptide like some others people talk about.
Right. That's an important distinction.
It's a tripeptide made from three amino acids, glycine, cysteine, and glutamic acid. Our bodies actually, well, they make it themselves.
Okay, good clarification. So let's dive straight into its most famous role, the antioxidant stuff. We hear antioxidant all the time, but what did that early preclinical work really show?
Well, what's striking is the sheer volume of research, both in vitro, so cell-based studies, and in vivo animal studies. They consistently showed glutathione's powerful antioxidant activity. It's not just passive. It actively goes after and neutralizes free radicals and reactive oxygen species.
Those things that can damage cells.
Precisely. Think of them as like tiny disruptive elements. And this wasn't just seen in one place. It was observed across many different tissues and organs in these early models.
So here's a kind of aha moment for you listening. Your body isn't just waiting to be defended. It has this potent internal defense system working constantly at the molecular level.
That's a great way to put it.
Now, another big one is detoxification. How does glutathione fit into that picture based on the foundational science?
Right. Detoxification. If you think about how our bodies handle, well, everything we're exposed to, glutathione is absolutely central, particularly in the liver.
The liver, okay.
It's a key player in what's called phase two detoxification. Essentially, glutathione helps grab onto toxins. It sort of attaches a handle to them, making them water soluble.
So easier to get rid of.
Much easier for the body to flush them out. And we saw strong evidence for this in preclinical animal models. Studies showed, for instance, it could protect against liver damage from substances like acetaminophen.
Right, Tylenol. That's really practical information. It gives you a better appreciation for how the body protects itself naturally.
Huh.
Okay, let's shift gears slightly. The immune system. What did the early work uncover there?
Yeah, the immune system. It really shows how interconnected everything is. Preclinical research points pretty strongly to glutathione being essential for a properly functioning immune response.
Awesome.
Studies showed it influences lymphocytes. Those are key white blood cells, the soldiers of the immune system, and also the production of cytokines.
The signaling molecules.
Exactly. They regulate the whole immune conversation. And animal studies suggested that if glutathione levels drop too low, immune responses can actually be weakened.
Hmm.
Conversely, in some specific experimental setups, boosting glutathione seems to potentially enhance certain immune functions.
Okay, so it's not just about more is always better, but it's clearly a vital piece of that complex immune puzzle. Now, the nervous system.
Hmm.
I know many people are curious about brain health. What insights came from the preclinical side?
Well, what's really interesting is the neuroprotective potential explored in those early studies.
Neuroprotective?
Yes. So in animal models designed to mimic aspects of diseases like Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, researchers looked at whether glutathione or its precursors could help protect neurons from damage.
And did they?
Some studies showed, well, promising results, things like reducing oxidative stress in the brain tissue and lessening the loss of neurons in those specific models.
Wow. So the idea that this molecule our body makes could potentially help defend against these really tough brain conditions, that's quite something.
It is. It opens up avenues for further investigation, definitely.
Let's talk about blood flow. Ischemia reperfusion injury? That sounds serious. How does glutathione play a role there?
It does sound serious, and it is. This refers to the damage that happens when blood flow gets cut off to tissue, like during a stroke or heart attack, and then suddenly rushes back in.
Like a dam breaking.
Sort of, yeah. That sudden return of flow can cause its own damage. Preclinical research, again, mainly in animal models, suggested glutathione might help protect against that kind of injury at the cellular level by potentially lessening the tissue damage when blood flow is restored. The idea was that boosting glutathione levels might offer some resilience in those critical situations.
Which could be huge, thinking about heart attacks and strokes.
Yeah.
It's really striking how one molecule seems involved in so many protective pathways.
It truly is.
And I gather it's even involved at the most basic level, like cell growth and death.
Yes, that's another fascinating, really intricate area. In vitro studies, so looking at cells in the lab, suggested glutathione has a role in regulating both cell proliferation, how cells multiply, and apoptosis.
Programmed cell death.
Right. It seems the balance of glutathione within a cell can influence whether it grows or whether it undergoes that programmed death.
That sounds fundamental.
It is. It has implications for everything from normal tissue repair to potentially the development or progression of diseases like cancer, where that balance goes awry. It's a surprising level of influence for a single molecule.
It absolutely highlights the complexity inside us. Okay, let's get practical for a moment. We know the body makes it.
Yeah.
People also take glutathione supplements. What did the preclinical work show about that?
Right. Supplementation is common, and preclinical studies did look into this. They investigated giving glutathione, either orally or intravenously, to animals.
And what were they looking for?
They looked at how it affected glutathione levels in different tissues and what impact it might have on various health outcomes in those models.
But does taking it orally actually work well? I feel like I've heard debates about that.
That's a key point, and you're right. The bioavailability of oral glutathione, how much actually gets absorbed and used by the body, has definitely been a topic of discussion and ongoing research in the scientific community. It's not always straightforward.
Okay, definitely something for people to be aware of. So just to bring this all together, can we quickly recap the main jobs preclinical research pointed to for glutathione?
Sure. So based on this foundational work, we see it as a powerful antioxidant, fighting cellular damage directly. It's vital for detoxification, especially in the liver. It supports healthy immune function. And it's involved in basic nutrient metabolism, like making DNA and proteins.
Quite the resume.
Indeed.
So wrapping up this deep dive into the preclinical evidence on glutathione, it's clear these early studies reveal just how incredibly multifaceted its protective roles are at the cellular level. It's definitely more than just a wellness buzzword.
Absolutely. There's a solid body of foundational science there. While you'll hear anecdotes and general talk, going back to these initial investigations is, well, really valuable for understanding its importance.
They really laid the groundwork.
They did. These studies give us that critical base for understanding its wide range of protective actions.
Which leads us to a final thought for you, the listener. Given everything we've learned about glutathione's fundamental roles from these preclinical studies, what might the future hold? What new research questions arise, and how might this deepen our understanding of health, aging, and maybe even disease prevention? It certainly makes you think about the body's own amazing defense systems.
And perhaps how we might best support them. Definitely food for thought.